Romans chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 22. Romans chapter 8, verse 22. It can be found on page 1135 in the Bibles in the pews. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. This is the word of the Lord.
The Gospel reading is John chapter 16, beginning to read at verse 4b. It can be found on page 1084 in the Pew Bibles. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. I did not tell you this at first, because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, "Where are you going?" Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, of righteousness, and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ. Be seated. Father, thank you for the gift of your Spirit. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Word. Please grant us now the gift of lives open to you to receive all this night that you want to give. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the great things about preaching or speaking from God's Word, I think the technical phrase is to expound it or to expose it, help it to become revealed to people. We're not telling you our own convictions, but it's there on the page. It's liberated, open for people. And there's another fascinating dynamic about this whole process. If you look at the Word of God, which is meant to be there, open for people to receive and understand through the lenses of something else, that conversation you have with the Scripture can be very interesting. Can be problematic if you've a rose-tinted view of life, or you're kind of depressed all the time, or actually you've a warped view of life. You'll never engage with the Scriptures appropriately. But it seems to me we're on safe ground this evening if we open the Scriptures, see what they have to say, and look at them, as it were, through the lenses of the Spirit. We're thinking about the Holy Spirit today on Whit Sunday, and through what we might well be thinking about prayer as our 9 days of Thy Kingdom Come unto this global initiative of the Archbishops of Canterbury and York comes to a conclusion. I didn't realise that I didn't know what Whit Sunday meant, so I looked up Whit, and actually there's no definitive answer on this. Some people think it's all from white, that's to say White Sunday. So the catechumenate people who have been baptised, who want to follow Christ, came to church in white. Someone says, no, it's got to do with the wit of the Holy Spirit. He gives you wisdom. There's no definitive answer. But nonetheless, we are in the season of Pentecost. Oh, I've got a correct answer being murmured here. Tell me afterwards. It's striking, though, that in this initiative of Thy Kingdom Come, it's clearly inappropriate to be praying for people in an aggressive way. So, for example, in the Lord's Prayer, Your will be done. There's no sense in which our prayers will in some way change the will of God, as if God is going to have his mind changed by fickle human beings like us. What will be within the sovereign purposes of God. So if you're praying, Thy Kingdom Come, for someone else, it's as much about a passive, receptive prayer for us that our lives will be shaped by the kingdom of God. Gone are the days, we trust, of those horrendous days in the Crusades where God's kingdom would come as you swashbuckle your way through the infidels and the Muslim world. We need to apologize quite profoundly. So let's take this language of the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit to our own lives, and this language of prayer into Romans chapter 8, which is the word of God for this evening. Pentecost is a gift. We reflect on the gift of God's Spirit. And I'm reflecting with you this evening in three particular ways God's Spirit comes to us as a gift. Notice Paul mentions in verse 26, in the same way the Spirit helps us. That's Jesus' own word for the Holy Spirit. He is a help us. He is a helper. He comes along to help us. But notice this phrase, in the same way. Paul has been reflecting that creation has been groaning. It is not as it should be. There is a better future. There is a better world. Heaven is yet to come. We are on earth. And creation, as it were, groans and waits for heaven to come. We are between times. Other language would say it's between the now and not yet of the kingdom. And during this in-between time, while we are groaning, while we are aching, while we are reflecting that perhaps life is not as it should be, the Spirit comes to us as our helper. I was most impressed in my early days of trying to work out what it meant to be a Christian leader. And this lady was a much more experienced and wiser person than I was in the Christian world. In fact, she was my pastoral tutor. And she said, I've come to realize that actually it's not my strength that God uses, it's my weakness. So woe betide you if you think to yourself, while I'm strong, I can help someone else out. The language of this is that the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. When we're groaning, when we're aching, when we realize that things are not as they should be, when we're conscious that we're people of this earth, that's the way God's Spirit comes to us. The first gift of the Spirit, his help. the second gift of the Spirit, his searching. Notice he says in the next verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 27, he who searches our hearts. The Spirit comes along and searches us. I'm put in remembrance of Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's a prayer that God would search us. But all the time, the gift of God's Spirit is firstly to bring us help and to then search our hearts and our lives. I often reflect with the staff team on the model of the Johari window. Forgive me if you've heard this before. It's a useful tool. If you haven't, you'll need to see before you a quadrant, top right, top left, bottom right, bottom left. The top is what we see ourselves. It's what other people see. Top left is what we can't see ourselves and what others see. And then you have what we can't see and what no one else can see. And it's in that window that the Spirit searches our hearts. Notice when Paul writes that the Holy Spirit searches our hearts and prays with us, there are two people that are always praying for us. There is Christ in heaven, who is interceding for us at the right-hand side of the Father. That's the first person praying for us. And then there's the Spirit who is interceding and searching our hearts in keeping with God's will. The Spirit's help and the Spirit's searching. As we pray for other people, I sometimes think it's important to remember people that have prayed for ourselves. Perhaps they're no longer with us. But do remember it's Christ who is interceding for you at the Father's right-hand side, and it's the Spirit who searches our hearts. We can't see it ourselves. Other people can't see it, but the Spirit is working in these deep places within our lives. The Spirit's help, the Spirit's searching, almost praying through you and for you. And then thirdly and finally, notice the Spirit's vision that's given in this particular passage. Notice in verse 27, the Spirit prays in accordance with God's will. And then the latter part of Romans 8 speaks about the final purposes of God in creation. So people are described as being called as Christians. People are described as being justified as Christians. People are described as being glorified and then loved eternally. This is a vision of God that the Spirit searches us and moves us all towards. It's the summit, it's the Everest, as it were, of God's purposes for us, climactically fulfilled in Paul's letter to the Romans. I was distressed to read that in this last year, 11 tons of rubbish have been removed from Mount Everest. I think there's been a horrendous number of people being killed on the mountain. I was particularly disturbed to see those queues of people waiting, bolstering the Sherpa economy to get up the summit and the peak of it all. But as you ask your question, what is the word of God for this evening from Romans chapter 8? Paul would say there is a wider vision, there is a wider purpose that God is working us all towards. This is the Mount Everest of his purpose, and you are involved in this. This is the Spirit's vision. He comes alongside us to help us. He searches our hearts for things we don't know anything about, and he holds us before this great vision that one day God will hold us eternally in his love. I had a fascinating experience, which I think I'm bold enough to say was prompted and guided by the Spirit this week. I was reflecting on these things and thought, do you know what? I haven't read any of this chat recently. Pulled a book off my shelf. The page fell open, and this is what I read, almost as if this author had been reading my thoughts. I think it was probably the other way round. If you've never read any A.W. Tozer, please have a go. I was most encouraged that this is an authentic classic that has been reprinted. I read it when it was first came out. Glad it's been reprinted. A.W. Tozer is not for the faint-hearted, as you're about to hear. But it's a summary of this spirit vision that can be given to us, as it were, if the spirit is not just in us, but that we are in the spirit. He helps us in our daily life. He searches our heart. And when we give ourselves openly to him, he carries along each one to this final vision of God's glory. God has had his own purposes in the creation of every man and every woman. God wants us to know the new birth from above. He wants us to know the meaning of our salvation. He wants us to be filled with his spirit. He wants us to know the meaning of worship. He wants us to reflect the glory of the one who has called us into his marvelous light. Wonderful that God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us in taking us to himself. Tozer goes on to say, if we fail in this respect, then it would have been better if we had not have been born. We are in between times. We are alive. There is only one helper from God who helps us in our weakness, in our humanity. That's the gift of God's Spirit. You don't know how to be with God? Well, the Spirit himself comes into those parts of you that you don't know yourself, that no one else can see, and can search your heart and lead you into God's final purpose for him, if you're bathed and if you're open to him. How is this going to happen? Well, I was reading a missionary magazine, and this comes from the country of Africa that's going to be much on our mind when we celebrate our children and young people going to Kondoa. And there's a slogan or a phrase in the African Christian community: if you want to go quickly, go alone. If you want to go far, go with others. And in that sense, our journey is with each other and it's with God. How will the Spirit come to us? Simply put, open your lives to him. Open your lives to others, to how perhaps they can bless your life as their agents of God's Spirit to you. None of these things can be done, as it were, on the nod or on the fly, but only after sustained prayer and reflection. Perhaps they shouldn't be hurried. And I've seen enough of the life of the Spirit to know these things don't come automatically in prayer straight away, but the fruit will be seen perhaps tomorrow, perhaps the day after, or the next week. Once our lives are genuinely open to the Spirit, he'll be our helper, he will search us and carry us forward to that vision which he gifted his church for, to be in the very presence of God. We hold a few moments quiet before I lead you in a prayer. Be still and know that I am God. Grant in our stillness, grant in our restlessness, grant in our fear, grant in our worry, even this night, the presence of your Holy Spirit, that we might receive help from Christ and know ourselves called and loved eternally. For his dear name's sake. Amen.